Today we bring you part four of the four of question and answer sessions for candidates running for city council at the Richmond Crusade for Voters.
Endangered species. Earlier this morning I told Ellen I was the only person that could say brothers are causing trouble on the corner, but she said it. I guess it's politically appropriate. All right. My three areas of concern are families and community and education. I'm not worrying about police right now. I'm more concerned about family development issues. I had an aunt, she's passed away now, and she was a social worker for the city of Richmond. And she would go into the homes of public housing and work with young ladies and say, darling, what do you need now? And she would work with them until they got on their feet. Presently, there, and for the last 20 years, the state legislature has said, that's not a mandate, you can't do that. So social workers don't go into homes anymore. Parenting skills were lost, families were broken apart, and dysfunctional issues began to show up. And it showed up in the last 30 or 40 years. And so as a result, you can see the importance of adjusting, as I would do, the budget for health and human services. And that's a very important component. The second component is education. Under education, I really want to emphasize that we can build new schools. And I'm an architect. I have a Harvard degree from architecture and a registered architect here in the city. We can build stuff with the hands tied behind the back. But if we don't program it properly, and if we don't have it being the centers of community, and specifically the middle schools as centers of communities, at that age where kids are very impressionable, if you will, and we don't want to lose them at that age, if we don't make middle schools community centers of hope with health and human services components in there, and the children are used as a way to get back to families, then we are not going to achieve anything other than beautiful schools. And I want to see more than that. And that's why I run, because I don't want to see the same old issues occurring for the next 20 years. Thank you.
My three issues are, in terms of the three top issues I'm looking at, it would be youth and the crime and the social injustices. I think that as we look at the issue of youth, that all across the city, and matter of fact, some places across this nation, I guess that's been one of the major issues as it relates to the revitalizing of the neighborhood, or wanting them to be revitalized, and we having those particular problems that we're dealing with. Young people, again, I just feel that we have not done enough. They're begging and screaming and asking us to pay attention to them. And when we don't pay attention, they demand attention. And I think they're demanding it every day by the things that occur constantly in some communities like mine, like the 7th District and some other places across the city. And so I think that as we look at the youth issue and the crime and the social injustice, I think there's a correlation between all three, and that those are the things that we need to be focusing on. Crime in terms of what happens. You talk about the youth, you don't have anything for them to do, idle time, idle mind, there go the crime. You don't have the crime, and so there go the social injustices as we look at the poverty, and as we look at things, unemployment rate, and things that we are not doing to address, again, going back to the top, the issues of our young people. If we begin to address that in a better way, in a more feasible way, I can guarantee you there will be a tremendous reduction, just as the Neighborhood in Bloom project that we had established in the city, when the crime went down, as you concentrated in those, your efforts in those particular areas. And I just truly believe that youth, our young people, particularly teens, have to be focused on. We have to decide that we want to turn this thing around, create the paradigm shift, and the only way we can do that is by addressing the concerns that they bring to the table and what we see and feel and hear every day as it relates to what's going on in our communities.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to flip the script again. Now, the three most important matters in my district are number one, representative, number two, representative, number three, representative. Now, and the reason I say that is because it all starts with leadership. Leadership with courage. And I don't mean the kind of courage you drink. I mean it's the kind that you use every day to help folk out. That's what you need, is courage. Now, the people in my district They talk about taxes, but they don't care one iota unless you can have representation with taxation. They don't want high taxes without good representation. They want somebody they can call on when things go wrong, when the pressure's on. They don't want somebody to sit up there in council and look like they're playing sleepy go by. They want a real representative. And it's time. Listen for a moment, because I only got a few seconds. It's the footsteps of change. Change is on the way.
Eight comes after seven.
Thank you. Good evening. First of all, I wanted to let you know the reason that I was late. I had a scheduled town hall meeting in my district with my constituents. And so now that we wrap that up, came right over here to address you and let you know what my position is on the issues facing our city. I understand the question to be the three issues facing our city. And for me, those issues are our youth, revitalizing our communities, and economic development. And I'll focus on our youth because our youth are the reason that our neighborhoods will or will not progress. Our young people are standing on the corners. They are the ones that are creating the crimes that we are faced with. That 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. hour is a dangerous time for our young people. From when they get out of school and their parents are still at work, we need to make sure that our community centers have programs and that are fully staffed, that our young people can have something to do after school. Because what they're currently doing, if you look at the statistics, Ms. McQuinn's district and my district are 1 and 2 as it relates to teen pregnancies. And so that hour of the day is when we need to start getting our kids off the street and get them into constructive programs. The problem that we're facing now with our schools, because our parents are children themselves. And so until we begin to stop that vicious cycle, we're going to continue down the path that we're going. I have supported putting additional funds in our police department, but I cannot continue to put more police on the street when we're not fixing the problem and addressing the needs of our young people. And that's what we're doing. In economic development, revitalizing our communities, we're still faced with these buildings and homeowners that aren't taking care of their properties. We need to make sure that we are holding them accountable and making sure they're taking care of their properties appropriately and in a timely manner. And then economic development. We need to make sure that now that we're revitalizing our communities, people are coming back into the city, that we have services for those people. And 2 years ago, my constituents asked for a grocery store, and you can come to Southside Plaza and see that grocery store. Thank you.
I know the three things are, in my district and the city too, is public safety, education, and affordable housing. And let me say this, Mayor Wilder came to our meetings before he was elected as mayor. He told us he would get us a grocery store at Southside Plaza. He said he would fix Southside Plaza. We didn't have any lights over there at Southside Plaza. We don't even have a place to even buy stamps over there at Southside Plaza because they took the machines up. The only thing we have there is little boxes to drop your mail in. So Mayor Wilder kept his promise to us. He got us that grocery store at Southside Plaza. Okay. You go in the grocery store and you will see the photo of Mayor Wilder, not Ms. Jackson.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will have the Sergeant of Arms to have you escorted out of here if you do not accord courtesy to the speaker. You may disagree, but do that in a civilized manner. Thank you. Allow Ms. Trammell to finish her remarks uninterrupted. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know in my district I have been to many doors, and as I said, the children are saying to me, give us a playground, Ms. Trammell. Look at the drug boys over there pushing us off the playground. I have pictures of it. I have locations of where they're at. I hear the seniors talk about, Ms. Trammell, help us with the taxes. We're being forced out of our homes. We're being made to go live with their families who we don't want to be with because we want to stay in our homes. We can't pay these high gas and water bills. And as someone said, yes, the water bill is higher than your daggone cable bill. It's pretty bad. Also, I want to say this. It is just a shame when you see the children out there on the street because they have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. They're asking for more community centers. Yes, we need to help the teachers in the schools. We need to have better schools. And we need to have the police chief work with us in our neighborhoods. They cannot do it by themselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. Chief Monroe has promised to help us. He has given us sector policing. He has put those officers back into our neighborhoods so we get to know who they are. That is a plus. Also, I want to help push the vision for the city of Richmond forward. I know, I'm not dumb, I know there is a new form of government at City Hall, but let me tell you all this. There is one thing that the people are saying. You're the council person, you need to represent us full time. We need to have some phone calls returned instead of waiting 5 months to get a return phone call. I will do that. You see my phone number? It's on all of my literature. I do return the phone calls. When you call my house, it even gives you my cell number, 240-5050. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Marie Kuhn, a candidate for City Council to represent the 8th District. When you look at everything we've put together over the past few weeks as it relates to our profiles, this question comes up again and again. We typically indicate public safety, education, economic development, and a number of other things. But as was said, these are symptoms of a deeper problem. The public safety and the crime piece is one piece that got me involved in this. I was involved in the Community Crime Control Committee. They got together and met with a consultant who came in from someplace, and he had us sitting in different rooms at different times, identifying the problems and then coming up with solutions. We met at the police headquarters down on Grace Street, and there on a wall was the face of the first person killed in January, February, March, April, May. These were 8x10 photographs of people who were dead. We'd meet, and there would be more faces added. I got concerned about that fact and said, we do a lot of meetings, but when all is said and done, more gets said than done. People are still dying uselessly and needlessly. That becomes an issue because when you talk infrastructure development, when you talk schools, when you talk revitalization, the thing that hits the paper the first thing in the morning is the latest homicide was experienced at such and such. If it bleeds, it leads in the news and it diminishes our ability to deal with the rest of the issues. So my sense is that there is a continuum of what needs to be done with public safety. Prevention to give young people a fence at the top of the cliff versus an ambulance down in the valley. Intervention and then the apprehension piece, which means if you can't be prevented, if you can't be intervened and turned around, then be apprehended, get out of our neighborhoods so those of us who want to live in peace can live in peace. And we as neighbors have a personal responsibility ourselves to ensure that our communities are safe. We can't arrest away the problem.
Thank you. Doug Connor, 9th District. I think one thing we really need to do is get together on our council and our mayoral type of government and get along. In the auto body industry, as you know, we're run by the insurance companies. You know, every day we have people, we have insurance companies that don't want to pay us. They are very difficult. They try to steer work away from our shops. But these are the same people we deal with on a day-to-day basis, every day. There are adjusters that come to my shop, and I'm not saying who makes me feel this way, but they come to my shop every day and I have to deal with them again and again and again. And I think as council members, we need to be mature enough to work with our mayor and work it out. You know, and I think we need to get forward with that part first. Secondly, we've got unemployment pockets of youth in our neighborhood that can't get jobs. And the reason they can't get jobs is because most of them can't read or write. Now, you know, everyone wants to send somebody to learn a skill. You know, maybe they can't read and write so well, okay? But, you know, I can't hire somebody that can't read an estimate and follow what he's supposed to do. These are things we need to do. Now, I had a meeting yesterday with the Virginia Department of Education, vocational director, and we were talking about the technical center sending kids, there are other schools sending kids to technical centers that can't read or write. The principal of RTC was asking the counselors, please send me somebody that can read. We need somebody that can read. And I asked her, I said, why is this? I mean, you know, we're having this in the technical centers. And she said, no, we're having this in the regular school programs as well as technical centers. Because there's no gate to make sure that these kids can read before they get out of elementary school. Now, the situation is, we need to fix that. John Hewlett, I was talking to him a little while ago, and there's not a person in here 60 years plus of age that can't read and write very, very well. So the last several generations, we missed the boat, and that's what we need to work on. Thank you.
You are listening to part 4 of 4 of the question and answer sessions for candidates running for city council at the Richmond Crusade for Voters.
Thank you. Of course, we've been hearing crime, education, neighborhood improvements. Again, we're not really addressing what is the cause. And I just want to look at one particular thing. Why are the whites leaving the black, leaving the cities and the black is still here? Think about our future. Our future are incarcerated. All our black young men that's incarcerated are our future. If we do not have a strong future base in the city of Richmond, or not actually reach the young people before they get to that level, we can continue to have the same problem. I agree with one thing that was said in reference to how do we get to early childhood in reference to making sure that our kids learn prior to coming to school. There's a service of three-year-olds right now that's in public school. We need to increase that. We do not have the family to address the issue in terms of reading, to be able to read before they come to school. So there's programs available to get them to that point. We just need to increase it. The perception about the city, why people are not coming back to the city, because of the perception. Crime. Every time you look at the paper, there's crime issues. So people, that's another perception. How do we change the perception? Which is critical, because what people think of a particular area is exactly the way they're going to probably approach that particular area. Thank you very much.
Consistent with what we did last week, candidates who arrived after they had an opportunity, after the two-minute introduction, were recognized. I believe we have one candidate who arrived after that recognition period, and that's Ms. Jackie Jackson of the 8th District. Ms. Jackson, you have 2 minutes to make your introductory remarks that you would have made had you been here early. We're glad that you came.
Thank you for the opportunity. I am Jackie Jackson. I am the 8th District Councilperson, and I am here seeking your support for re-election for City Council. Why am I running for City Council? Because the past 4 years I have been successful in getting many services and requests that my constituents have asked for. Why am I running for City Council? Because I am the only candidate that has worked in both forms of government, that worked in the form of government under council and manager form of government, and now under the new form of government working with the mayor. Why am I running for City Council? Because my constituents have asked for things that we still need, and because in order to get those things that we still need, you have to get those items in the budget. And in order to get those items in the budget, you have to be able to work with your colleagues and also work with administration. And I have been successful in working with administration and my colleagues to get things that my constituents have requested. Street lights, street pavings, a grocery store. The mayor wasn't even elected when the grocery store was negotiated and the council voted on it. So the grocery store was put there by me. It was went in, and I went and talked to Mr. Farmer and brought him and showed him the building. So those are the things that I'm willing to do and will continue to do for my district and for this city. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to conclude this. We had 3 rounds of questions prepared, but life is an art and not a routine.
Exactly.
And when it's time to go home, it's time to go home. So if there's anyone here who would object to our cutting the questions off at this time, would you raise your hand? Mr. Jewell, you've been outvoted. Thank you. We do have a few recognitions to conclude before we get out of here, but before we do that, with one tiny exception, you have been a wonderful audience. Give yourselves a hand. We appreciate so much your attentiveness and your here in handsome numbers, and we thank you. For those of you who are here for the first time, we have developed the tradition of allowing a candidate to finish his or her statement and not register any audible protest. We would extend an invitation to you to buy into this standard so that we may have productive meetings, and so that people who will not come to meetings that are filled with acrimony and fighting won't stay home and will come back and rejoin us. This is the only reason why we enforce the order strictly. Please help us to continue as an organization that's on the move. Thank you. I'd like to recognize at this time one of our past presidents, Mrs. Roxy Cornegay, and I learned the name is different now, but Mrs. Roxy Cornegay, let us give her a warm reception. Thank you. Mrs. Cornegay, we're glad to have you here this evening. Also, I'd like to congratulate the persons from the Richmond branch in NAACP, and this is the opportunity to repeat that this forum is jointly sponsored by the Richmond Crusade for Voters, the Richmond branch in NAACP, and the Sierra Club. We're going to hear from the Richmond branch president, Mrs. Frances Robinson, to give us greetings at this part. We're glad that you joined us. They had a meeting tonight, a branch meeting, and they ended their meeting early and came here. Let us warmly receive Ms. Frances Robinson, Richmond branch in NAACP.
Greetings. Thank you for coming out tonight to join us in this very informative forum. And we look for you to be out on November 7th. Encourage all of your neighbors, your friends, family, and everybody, if they need a ride to the poll, give them a ride to the poll. And I would also like to thank each of you that came out for the NAACP Freedom From Gala on Friday night. It was quite an affair. And we appreciate your attendance, and thank you so much.
Thank you for being so kind and merciful. See, she didn't have a time limit, and she took a minute and 10 seconds. I'd also like to recognize Mr. Charles Price, who is the local president of the Hall of the James Sierra Club. Mr. Price, who is also a joint sponsor of this. Mr. Price, let us warmly receive him, and you also have no time limit. Thank you.
We are indeed pleased in the Falls of the James Sierra Club to be a co-sponsor of this event tonight. One of our candidates said this evening that you've got to be able to do more than one thing at once. The paradigm indeed has shifted. You can well imagine, you know what the Sierra Club is about. It's about environmental quality and the quality of life. What we're interested in our candidates are how aware and knowledgeable they are of environmental issues that impact Richmond and the surrounding region, and what are their plans to do something about these problems. And so you can see that our task, our challenges have increased exponentially when we talk about air quality, water quality, pollution, the need for alternative modes of transportation to reduce the dependency on the automobile, the ideas of green buildings using materials and building concepts to reduce energy consumption. These are all on the dais, on the agenda for us to attend to, in addition to all of the multitude of problems you've heard about today. There is no coincidence in the fact that we have had recently just horrendous storms of various types that have swept through our city. Just about everybody in the scientific community is saying this is attributable to fossil fuel combustion and emissions that's causing climate change and global warming. Now, what can we do about it locally? I think you're going to see this as part and parcel of the city of the future. The incorporation of green building concepts, the alternative modes of transportation that will reduce the dependency on automobiles and internal combustion uses, and every kind of conservation and environmentally sensitive measure that can be taken. Thank you all so much for your participation tonight.
We would also like to thank our congressional candidates for showing up for this forum. I believe this is the first time in a long time we've had congressional candidates, and I believe it's the first time we've had a candidate from the 7th Congressional District. I live in the 7th Congressional District, and so do many of you. And some of you may not be aware of that because Congressman Bobby Scott was taken from us about 4 years ago, and some of us did not realize that until we went to the polls, and we had no choice to vote for Congressman Scott, and we nearly fainted when we saw that our congressman was Mr. Cantor. You have a chance, and you have choices to make, and we... Now, let's do this in the spirit in which that was intended. We are nonpartisan. I'm simply making an observation and not a political statement. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, more in the way of just your information. As you know, we're not voting tonight, and aren't you glad? With 47 names on the ballot, it would be well after 1 a.m. when we were able to complete the process. I will say to you that the executive committee will meet this week and determine when in October we will have our next meeting. And that meeting will require a rule suspension when we meet to allow that meeting to substitute for our regular meeting for the month of October. We don't want to run you out twice in the month of October. You've been wonderful in coming out twice in the month of September, but we don't want to, well, all good things must end, and we need to get back to once a month as soon as we can. Are all minds and hearts clear? Let us stand, and you greet one another with a handshake and fellowship, and have a good evening. Rejoin your families in the free world, and thank you for coming.
You were listening to part 4 of 4. In 2006 of the question and answer sessions for candidates running for city council at the Richmond Crusade for Voters.